one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
We're facing things today that we didn't face when the Lord called me to preach. When I was born, there wasn't a psychiatrist in Navarre County. Nobody ever thought about going to a psychologist for help. Nobody ever went to a mental ward to get a shock treatment. They went to an old-fashioned revival where some preacher shocked the devil out of them. That's it. I tell you, there's another sad day when the doctors and the psychologists and psychiatrists and the philosophers and even some loop-legged preachers without conviction began to call sin sickness. They said he's sick. Well, why don't you diagnose and find out what made him sick? Let's call sin, sin. Not anything to be played with. Not a thing to be smiled at. There's nothing funny about it. A little girl called me today. She's just been transported at the expense of her dad by the authorities from Lufkin, Texas, back to the hill country of Tennessee. And there she's in, locked up in jail. Just a little girl, barely over 15, just turned 16. She said, "Brother Roloff, did you want to talk to me?" I said, "Yes, I'm glad to talk with you." I said, "Do you realize you need help?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I really do." I said, "You know you're involved in a lot of trouble." She said, "Yes, sir, only they got one other child. A dad's a godly man, but he lost control of his daughter." And she began to ask me some questions. You see, most people want deliverance, but they don't want it God's way. And there's not any other kind. There are no shortcuts. I mean, you're not going to be just go somewhere and receive an anesthetic and wake up real fine. I mean, there's no way for a doctor to put you to sleep and cut out your sinner. Oh, tonight, you'd say, "Well, what makes a person a sinner? Is it strong drink, liquor, dope, filth, immorality, prostitution? Is it homosexuality, lesbian?" No, that's not it. The thing that makes a man a sinner is his first birth. You were born in sin. See, that's what puzzles a psychiatrist. Of course, the average psychiatrist doesn't know how to even spell sin. You never hear him pronounce it either. He'll call it a dual personality. He'll call it an emotional disturbance. I tell you, it's a devil's disturbance. Did you know that all these, nearly a third of a century, we've never had one psychiatrist with any of our boys and girls? We haven't needed him. I'm not against a Christian psychiatrist, but I warn you, my beloved, tonight, don't you ever turn your mind or your child in his mind or her mind over to an unsaved psychiatrist. When you walk into a psychiatrist's office, ask him if he knows Jesus. Say, "Are you saved?" You know what he'll do? He'll look at you and say, "You are sick. You really need a psychiatrist." And then you tell him and say, "No, what you need is Jesus." If you haven't got the right kind of mind, I'm not going to let you fool with mine. When the blind lead the blind, both of them topple over in the ditch. I'm not against psychiatry if it's built on the Bible and it's practiced by a Christian. It's the only kind that'll ever help anybody. Now then, let's go to the Bible. I'm going to ask the questions tonight. What is sin? What is sin? Well, let me give you some things I jotted down, seven things. It's unwise, it's ungodly, it's unscriptural, it's un-American, it's unspiritual, it's unrighteous. Everything bad in this world stems from that little word, sin. S-I-N. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, there are two laws in the world. One is man's law. One is God's law. When man's law conflicts with God's law, it's not a law for a Christian. I say another thing. When man's law conflicts with the Constitution of the United States, then no man is obligated to keep it. The Constitution is the law of the land. And we believe the law of the Lord, the law of the Spirit, the law of the land, the law of faith, the law of love, the law of Christ, and the law of sowing and reaping. Those are your seven laws you better go by. Now, when man introduces a law contrary to the law of God, which is the Word of God, we're not under obligation to keep. If we do, we become a compromiser and become an Ichabod man or woman, boy or girl. And so, it's not hard to find out what's right, a little hard sometimes to do it. So he said, if you commit sin, you transgress the law. Now turn with me to the book of Romans, please. And we'll look just a moment. Chapter 13. Chapter 13. He said, every soul, he said, let every soul be subject. Now you can't make them. He said, let them. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I simply go over this because we have new ones all the time that come, and many times this is the chapter that they've tried to hang this preacher with. For there is no power but of God. In other words, he's got all of it. When Jesus climbed out of the grave on the third morning, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, would Jesus be foolish enough to give power to the state to murder children? What if they want to pass a law of abortion? That's murder. And yet, that's unscrupulous, unscriptural, and unrighteous. Then we're not obligated to observe it. It's popular to be sinful. It's popular to be wrong. You know why? Nearly about everybody's wrong. You'd say, well, do you think you're on the one right? No, sir. Anybody's right if they stay with the book, the Bible. I'll just make the comment. Making the 1611 King James even better. Reminds me of somebody trying to improve God. Reminds me of a little country painter with a old beat up brush and a bucket of red paint trying to improve a sunset. This has been the generation of trying to help God out. He don't need no help. And this has been the generation of rewriting, paraphrasing, making it sound like man's writings. The thee and the thou and the thine, that's too majestic. Let's come on down where the hippies and the yippies live. Let's call him you. You, Lord. Yeah,
you just sold him a buddy. Oh, look out, Buster. The old man, you better quit all that foolishness. He'll grab you one of these days. I'm talking about sin tonight. Oh, listen, dear friend. People run across the country calling Jesus Christ J.C. Well, I just talked to J.C. a while ago. You better watch that. Brother, I tell you, that's capital Jesus Christ. And when a nation loses her respect for God and His Word, she's doomed to die. I believe the convulsions of death have set in on America. That 13th chapter said, whoso therefore resisteth what? The power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? What is that? Folks, I give it once again. The high powers is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. What else could be the higher powers except those? Now then, he said, do that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same. For, and I'll settle for this, he is the minister of God to thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword. What is the sword? That's the Bible. Now notice, he said he's the minister of God to thee for what? Good. He beareth not the sword in vain. Dear friend, that's not minimum standards. That's the Word of God. There's not but one sword. I got it right here. You say, you mean President Carter is supposed to go by the Bible? Well, what else should he go by? You mean Governor and our Attorney General supposed to go by the Word of... Well, of course they are. Why would they want to go by second best? Why, they're supposed to go by the Word of God. You never have a great nation unless it goes by the Word of God. Now then, let's go a little further. What is sin? It's a transgression. Chapter 5, verse 17, 1 John. 1 John. Now, I know this is the love book. This is the assurance book. But he also deals with sin. Chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Now, sin is unright. It's not right. It just, he said it's unright to sin. You cannot end up in the right place living unright. You say, well, what is righteousness? It's Jesus. Where do you get it? It's a gift. You don't get it by joining the church or going up in the baptistry. You get it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, that goes your cigarettes. That goes your liquor bottle. I mean, that goes your dope. That goes your immorality. When Jesus comes in, the devil's got to go out. That's what made America great. That's the kind of preaching that makes any nation great, is preaching righteousness. Now, the Bible said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The question is, America wicked tonight? Used to, they called homosexuality the weirdest, dirtiest, filthiest sin. Now then, they call it a new lifestyle. Brother, we don't need to be stylish along that line. Oh, listen. Why, that's the sin that completely possesses the mind and makes them mass murderers. Because they have no mind left. They can't think right. Oh, what I've heard the last few days. The little girl. The old woman, the old lady, she was a great, I got it right here. Now you talk about depravity. You talk about sin. and trouble. Three juveniles arrested for attempted rape. You say, how old was the dear lady? She was 80 some odd years old. Here's her letter right here. This is her letter right here. Dear Brother Olaf, last Sunday I heard you 1 hour broadcast. And she goes on to say a lot of wonderful things. She said, being a widow over 12 years now, and I'm now in my 83rd year. Life has not been a bed of roses. Beginning in the summer when some surgery began. And then she begins to tell the story. The clipping, which I'm enclosing, taken from an area newspaper published a few days ago, speaks for itself. I have corrected the report to conform more closely to facts which I know too well, as I was the victim in the case. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, God protected me from losing my life and enabled me to pray out loud and warning them of what would befall them. And if they did not repent and get right with the Lord, thus I was kept from becoming hysterical, screaming, or speechless. God was never, never so close. 82 years old and three mean, sorry, filthy-minded, television-minded, Hollywood-minded boys took an old lady and carried her, and she just prayed and preached to them all the way. Said, you boys better know now. You're going to give an account to God. He's going to get you. And she preached to him. And did you know, it was getting dark, and a policeman, patrol car, some came in, and I think it was in her own pasture where she was feeding some cows maybe later, getting a little dark. And they saw the lights, some strange lights. And they come a rolling up there, and those three hoodlums bailed out. But they're in jail now. Amen. I tell you, there's something wrong with young people. I can remember when we were that age, we'd have been glad to feed her cattle for her and count it a real privilege. We'd have thought, man, isn't that sweet? I got to feed grandmother's cows. Instead, they were trying to take her off somewhere. Listen, folks, we better get rid of that box called television. Amen. That has corrupted the minds of our young people. And people look at me with such a pious look and say, Brother Olaf, don't you let these girls watch television. Why should they? They watched it before they came here. Amen. Their little minds are already warped and filthy and ungodly. And somebody said, well, it looks to me like that you're just brainwashing. I plead guilty, Your Honor. If I find somebody with a dirty dress, I ought to wash it or have somebody to wash. If I find somebody with dirty socks, I ought to be washed. Then if we find somebody with a dirty mind, we ought to brainwash them. Amen. Use the Word of God, get them straightened out. Amen. That's the reason they sing like they do. That's the reason they smile. Four little old girls came out to the airport today while I go over here and this morning, and I tell you what, I was amazed. They all knew. They hadn't been here very long. One of them was the fourth sister in the same family that came. All of them very pretty girls. Every one of them. And I just thought, here they are. Had on a white blouse, beautiful blue skirt, had on hose, shoes. I mean, they looked like $1 million, all of them. I mean, anybody in the world would be proud to have them as a daughter. And yet when they come in, little old slouchy-looking, cursing, profane, mean, devilish girls, hating everything and everybody, Jesus is the answer. He's the only one that make a lady out of any of you. Got out there, and those boys, courteous, gentlemen, got up and testified. Folks, that's the answer. I mean, everybody's sin. I'm not condemning you because you've sinned. I never forget that girl I picked up on the highway. It's been 40, 43 or 44 years ago. And this was before anybody ever did this. I mean, if a girl ever stepped aside or ran off or stayed away at night, I mean, that was just, ooh, that's terrible. I mean, I can't imagine it. And I picked up along the highway coming out of Athens, going to Trinidad. I was pastor there at the First Baptist Church. And I began to talk with her. I got to the road, and she was going to get out and walk up maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 miles to home. And she said goodbye and said, this is the last time anybody's going to ever see me. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, what do you mean? Boy, that I'd never talked to anybody in my life that was about to commit suicide. I mean, they just didn't do it back in those days. Nobody knew how. Nobody had enough courage. You get to get pretty depraved to kill yourself. You know it? I mean, you got to get pretty mad at yourself. Say, man, you ain't worth living. Boom, you know. And so I said, get back in this car. Get back. She said, no, I'm going to walk. I said, no, you're not going to walk either. Now, brother, you talk about turning on steam. I mean, spiritual steam. Listen, man, I came on up to normal. I mean, I said, listen, you're not fit to live, you told me. And if you're not fit to live, you're not fit to die. And I said, I want to talk to you. She said, I can never face my mother and dad. I know they've been disturbed, and all night last night I was gone. My mother and daddy, I don't imagine they slept a wink last night. They're good country people, and I don't ever want to see them again. I'm ashamed of my running away just for one night. One night, said, I just don't want to face my mother and daddy. I said, listen. And I pulled over to the side of the road under a shade tree, and I broke the bread of life. And in a little while, she said, you know, he'd save me, wouldn't he? I said, he sure would. I said, you're the very kind he came for. He specializes on people just like you. And she just had a hard time believing, because she was convicted of her sin. Even before I picked her up, she came home in shame and disgrace, and she didn't like it. And she was sorry about it. She gave her heart to Christ. And I said, now I'll drive you on home. And on the way home, she made this statement, a colossal statement. She said, you know, Brother Olaf, it's human to err, but it's stupid to continue. Isn't that a good statement? She said, it's just so natural to do wrong, but isn't it silly and sinful to keep on? You see, the worst thing is not to sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The worst thing is to get adjusted and adapted to it and say, I'm not going to live any other way than in sin. And I remind you before this series of messages every time, the wages of sin is death. You work for the devil, you draw wages. But the Bible says, and leads me to believe, it pays to serve ye. You have to pay the devil, and then he gives you wages, and God pays you in blessings to serve him. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved and to be kept and to be blessed.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today was entitled, What is Sin? Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask RO 2948, and include $10. And we would like to have the call letters to the radio station and also today's date. To order by credit card, dial toll free at 1-800-772-7507. The address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas,
78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is a message and song. The offer number 3678 and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.